Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Okay, friends. So a couple of months ago, I was wanting to record a conversation with my buddy, Jonathan Pitts, and his wife, Peta Pitts, and it just kept coming to me Thanksgiving. And so I'm a little hesitant about this because it's Thanksgiving and it's supposed to be joyful and fun and family, but I also know there's some really, really hard circumstances out there. And I felt like we needed to just address that and talk to you guys about what do you do when you're in life's worst circumstances and you're in the midst of major pain and grief, but you're going on. There's still Thanksgiving this week and you still have to be around family, but you're grieving. And so this is for you that are in that spot or you that are still processing something from a year or 5 years ago that was really painful. I know that this will encourage you and I pray that you'll be able to share it with friends, maybe in the right timing. Pray about that timing. You don't want to send something super heavy to a friend that's like, I was actually in a good space today. But Jonathan is my dear friend. His late wife, Winter Pence, that he lost several years ago, was my good friend and buddy in ministry. In fact, my very first podcast was with Winter. We both wanted to do a podcast for moms that are raising girls. And then about 19 episodes in, she ended up passing away suddenly. And I don't say that lightly, but I want to already cry about this in the episode. So I'm moving quickly. And then Jonathan has remarried Peta and they are parenting his four girls and now their four girls. And at the same time, if that wasn't enough, they have had two infant losses. They've had a miscarriage and they've also had stillborn and now she's pregnant again. So you will hear her honesty and her vulnerability as she's talking about wrestling with God through this tragedy of both of her losses and even how to wrestle through step-parenting. There's so much packed in here. Oh, it's just really special. And so I pray, and I know it's going to bless you guys no matter what season of life you're in, just to hear her honesty and hear Jonathan's strength and faith in the midst of some really, really difficult years. All right. Enjoy, my precious friends. I pray it blesses you in a really profound way. Jonathan and Peta Pitts, how are you today?
Hi.
Doing good.
Peta, I just said your name out loud the other day. Like, it hasn't dawned on me that you have the coolest name, Peta Pitts. Like, that is epic.
I know, it's not bad.
So good.
It's kind of like Peppa Pig. Yeah. That's how we feel so about it.
Good. Which is Iron Man.
It's Iron Man. Yeah, so I'm like, who's that? I don't know. I know Peppa Pig.
In the beginning, I was a bit like, it's kind of a bit VeggieTales. I don't know how I feel about it.
It's so good. I love it. Okay, tell us, most of the world out there knows you guys, but tell us a little bit about you, where you are, like with your family and just where you live and all that good stuff.
Sure. Well, I'm Jonathan Pitts. I live in Franklin, Tennessee.
We have leg wrestling. Peta Pitts.
Yeah, we are leg wrestling.
So there's not enough room for us to fit in the thing.
Jonathan Pitts, I am a pastor and ministry executive is how I say what I am and do. I'm pastor at Church of the City in Franklin, Tennessee. Dad of four girls, all teenagers, and a soon-to-be boy on the way who's coming that we're excited about.
So exciting.
And yeah, been happily married 2 years. God's done so much of my story. I don't even know how to say all the things that I feel like I want to say, but yeah, that's me.
Yeah, we just had our 2-year anniversary on the weekend.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And who are you, babe?
I know, it is crazy.
How are you feeling? You look amazing. For those that can't see you, you're just precious.
She has to introduce herself.
Okay,
that can be part of the intro.
We already did it. I'm Peta Pitts. That's it. What do you want to know?
Your accent is not from Tennessee. Let's just start there. Where do you hail from?
It's from Alabama. Just kidding. I am from Australia. I was actually born in Malaysia. My mom's Malaysian Chinese. And grew up in Australia. My dad was in the Air Force, so kind of all over, up and down the East Coast, moved around, military rat. And I moved to the States like around 2015 permanently. I was coming backwards and forwards from Australia to LA for a few years before that. I'm an actress. So yeah. I was kind of doing that whole thing in LA and then, you know, got my green card and then got my citizenship and was kind of really there for about 10 years and then met the Jonathan.
The real.
The real Jonathan Pitts.
I was going to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but I was one of the lucky ones that kind of got the scoop on the early dating because I'm on the board of Four Girls Like You, and he couldn't really talk about it because it's not like, hey, I'm going to go on Instagram and talk about how I'm falling in love with this girl. Yeah. But it was so precious to like watch him, watch the miracle of y'all even meeting and then watch how God just put you two together in the most beautiful way. And I always love when y'all go public with something because I'm like a little kid, like waiting for you to announce it. But I've loved you before I knew you. And I'm so thankful that God put y'all together.
Oh, I know. I love you too. Yeah.
And thanks for your encouragement. Gosh. I remember early on when there were very few people, grateful. I felt like I could tell that in my world, you were just very generous. And I think what was really cool is already trusting of my discernment.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
hands down.
Yeah, just being in my life. So anyway, I'm just always been grateful for you. I don't think about it often, but yeah, I was like, I remember calling you like, you know, you were like somebody close to me that's also like not necessarily in my different worlds, you know. So
well, you're sweet because awesome. I have a big mouth, and I'm really proud that you trusted me. And you would have to say, Court, you can't talk about
exactly.
This. Exactly. But that is one thing I will say over the years as we've gotten to know each other. Your discernment is just amazing. So I love when you share about anything, especially parenting. So I was thrilled to have you guys on. And this week that we're airing this is Thanksgiving week. So we have a lot to talk about, but let's start with something where you make us feel better about your own mess. So what's a messy part of your house? Mine is right my office right now. It is like stacks and stacks of papers and I'm trying not to look right or left. So what's yours?
I know our office is really bad too.
No, it's not messy.
It's messy.
It's messy. It's not the most messy though. It's not the most messy. What's the most messy thing?
The closet. Closet.
Our closet.
The girls' closets are immaculate.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Followed by our pantry, which is a hot mess.
Oh my gosh. It's disgusting. I'm sorry.
Okay. Do any of the girls like that? Like Maya Larson is like, when I have a house, I'm going to be like the home edit and everything's going to be color coded and baskets and labels. I'm like, you go for it. Like, you go for it.
Yes.
Caitlin's the only one like that.
Well, yeah. Cameron says that, and there's definitely, like, the feeling of, when I have a house, it's going to be this way.
But in your
and
house.
We're like, just you wait. Because I feel like I've cleaned out the pantry and reorganized it, like, at least, this is embarrassing, twice. Only twice.
In 2 years.
Well, it doesn't last long.
But because every time, it's just all of a sudden, like, just a mess again.
I know. Well, people eat the food. You're like, this looks so cute. And the granola's in the thing. And it says granola. Yeah. And then they actually use the granola. And it's everywhere. It's like rats have invaded.
Or then you buy the, you know, massive box from Costco and it just ends up sitting on the floor.
Like, that's where we're at now, Courtney. Basically. We don't have the granola glass thing with like, the granola. That you have
we
to
do.
Refill.
We actually do.
Oh, we do.
We do. It's just empty.
Yeah, you're like, it's in the bottom of the Costco Amazon. Chip bag. Just search in the bottom.
Yeah, surface. Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, where do you
our closet's a hot mess right now. And I feel like it has been pretty much for the whole year since probably January or last December because we renovated like a new space when we got married, like a second master. And then we had this amazing closet that was so beautiful. And I wanted it to be like a Narnia room where I could just go in and be like a prayer closet. We painted it green, like this beautiful library green. Anyway, and I bought like all new hangers. So they're all the same color. And then we fell pregnant and we were like, oh, where are we going to put the baby? It's okay. We'll put him in the closet. It's an extra large, massive, beautiful closet. It's like a little room of its own. And so then
It became
like I had to clear like one whole wall of the closet. And so then all of those things, like I put some of them in another closet in the house and the rest just has been on the floor.
To your credit, y'all had a little bit going on with four girls and pregnancies and all the things. But Peter, I saw you post something the other day about how you're going to be writing and I was pumped because whenever you share a caption, I'm like, yes, it is so profound and so heartfelt. So tell us a little bit about that idea. I think what you shared, and I may mess it up, is that there's just all forms of motherhood. There's, you know, adopting, there's being a stepmom, there is loss, there's so much. And I don't know that we do a good job in the Christian world of talking about all those lanes. We keep it pretty traditional. So tell me about your heart to encourage women in all lanes of motherhood.
Gosh, I mean, it's so broad. And even as a step parent, I think everybody's journey is really different. Like, obviously I have stepdaughters and I'm a stepmom to girls whose mother has died, which is a very particular road. Then if, say, from divorce or separation where you're a step-parent co-parenting with another set of parents or another mom and another dad. So I can't really speak to that. And I just think it's, I mean, as far as what you said about the church acknowledging, I think that's the hardest thing is because aside from if you're in what I would call a squeaky clean position of, well, this is out of death, it's easier to talk about, I think, as a pastor, as a person in the church. But I think if you're coming at it from divorce, I feel like that is a place where the church is just really sort of not leaned in, because then it's like, oh, then we have to acknowledge divorce and how we feel about it.
You're endorsing it
if you're endorsing the new fan. And so I think that's a place where people really become unseen or get lost or feel sort of not necessarily as much support. Yeah. And it's a pretty lonely space. And I feel really cautious talking about it, because even in writing, you know, some of the articles, I've been really obviously aware of like covering our family and all that sort of stuff. But I also am like, I just don't want to come across like a victim. Like, it's so hard, because mothering is hard.
It is. Yeah.
In all its forms at all different stages. But I think there is, you know, what I've experienced having had a miscarriage at 11 weeks. And then, you know, we had a full term stillbirth at 35 weeks, which was just horrific.
Which was this year, by the way.
Yeah, that was in January. Wow. So that's why our closet's still this. And now we're expecting again. So just as we were about to put it back together, we're like, take it all down again.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And thank you. Yeah, it's exciting. It's full on.
Yeah.
It's full on. I texted a friend yesterday and said, we had our anatomy scan yesterday. And I texted a friend and was like, because of what we went through with our first son, I feel like I'm doing well and there's a lot of grace. Like, I don't feel nearly as anxious as I anticipated I might.
Yeah.
But always about 5 to 6 days out from an ultrasound, we've only had two, but it starts kind of like almost like a physical trauma and a physical stress that is bypassing my brain. Like, if I think about it and I have a moment with the Lord and I'm like, what do I feel anxious about? What do I think is going to happen? What am I believing? It's actually not mental. Right. It's just like, it's so visceral and close. And that kind of escalates the closer we get to the ultrasound of just like, what if we get there and something's wrong? And I just said to a friend, like,
and one of the reasons we know is because we had our first fight in a long time the night before the ultrasound. We didn't even talk about it, but our last fight was the night before the ultrasound. I'm like, oh, that's why I'm, and it was my fault. It wasn't her fault. I think it was just stress and me like coming out randomly, you know?
Yeah. But you're not alone.
And I just said to my friend, like, I feel like for a week I've just been hanging on to the train of his rope, like just like tide of anxiety comes in, just let it go to him. Like, just, you can't deny it. You know, you can't say like, just don't be afraid. Like,
no,
after you've been through something like it's sort of, the record is very real, but there is a record of something else that's more real, which we've got to remember.
Because
I'm getting off topic.
Because I'm the administrative guy, I want to go back to the mothering journal that she's a part of.
I just said we're getting off topic. I can do it too.
Yeah.
I can manage.
He's like, hold on, back up. Let's link to that bad boy.
I know. Anyway, so I think the point of that was like, not just like the areas that I really want to speak to in the magazine, but also that I have a heart for, obviously, because of what I've been through, is I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, this is going to sound really controversial depending on the listener, and I don't mean to cause a political stir or anything like that, but I was thinking,
don't do it on my podcast.
I know.
No, bring it
on. I was
on.
Just thinking, like, if we actually believe that a child is conceived and has a fullness of identity from God and is a child in fullness at conception, then actually it would be fair to say, I'm going to cry now.
Yeah.
That a mother becomes a mother at conception as well.
Absolutely.
That's not controversial, baby.
And so I think, like, that's how I felt. Yeah. And in that space, kind of, you know, the first time when we had a miscarriage, I didn't really know what to do with that, because I was just like, my heart is awakened as a mother.
Yeah.
It was already obviously already awakened in entering what I entered with the girls.
Yeah.
But that's a different kind of tension, because living what we're living, where their mom is not here, holding that space for their mom is very critical. And so And I think that's the hardest thing about being a stepmom is you never get called mom. Mm. Like, you do all these things and you do all the mom things and you enter that and yeah. you're never really allowed to be acknowledged as someone's mom. Mother. Like, yeah. and that's very lonely and very painful. That's what I was going to say before. And I was like, I don't want to be a victim about it, but there is that. Yeah, there is that place of heartbreak where you're like, oh, you know, this is happening with the mums at school and you don't, yeah. you're not, there's sort of like a, it's not that you're not included, it's that there's a tension around it yeah. of like, because that word is so painful or,
yeah.
you know, and I'm sure over time, I mean, we've already grown so much as a family, but I think, so for me, in terms of in my spirit, in my heart, the fullness of awakening and the fullness of permission yeah. to be like, oh my gosh, I'm a mother was when we conceived yeah, our first absolutely. Child. And
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. So then when that doesn't mean that in the spirit, according to God, it wasn't the same when I married Jonathan and became a stepmother. Mm. It actually is the same according to God. Wow. He's like, I've put you in position now. I've put you here. Yeah. I've brought you here. Ultimately, this is redemptive, even though the becoming of it and the walking out of it is very painful yeah. and very slow. Yeah. Whereas when you conceive, it's very immediate. Like as a woman, it's very immediate, that feeling of just like, I'm going to be a mom. I'm a mom. And a really close friend of mine, Julie Revere, we had a lot of coffees. Her mom is a midwife and I think, anyway, anyway, she's got a lot of wealth of like wisdom and knowledge around motherhood. And she was telling me this thing when we were pregnant with baby Jonathan Caleb. And she was like, how did she say it was so beautiful? She said, you know, when you give birth to your baby, actually what happens is the mother is born.
Oh, wow.
Like you give birth to.
Yeah.
So that whole pregnancy process, everything is actually like, it's gestating a baby, but it's also gestating yes. motherhood. And so I think, you know, in terms of, not having had that with the girls, it is different.
Yeah.
It's different for them towards me. It's different, you know, and we're growing in that. And it's almost like, you know, when Jonathan and I were dating and I was like nervous about, well, what do we do? Do I move to Nashville or do you guys move to LA? What about my career? What about this and that? I felt the Lord ask me like, what would you do if you had a baby? Like if you got married and you and Jonathan got pregnant straight away and you had a baby, what would you do? And I was like, I would stop working.
Right.
Like I would just stop working until I wanted to go back, probably at least 2 years. I just knowing myself, yeah. you know, and I just felt the Lord say to me, we'll just like you're basically having 4 babies.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And so I haven't really worked since we got married. Like I knew that in that the Lord was saying to me, like, when you get there, this is your priority. Wow. You will be becoming a mother to them in a different way, even though that might not necessarily be seen or acknowledged.
Yeah. When Winter was gone, that was such a cry of my heart. I wanted them to have a mom, like a really good mom. And so you're like the prayer request come to life. And I'm really grateful. Uh-huh. So thank you for mothering them in the hardest days of your life. I just can't imagine what y'all are going through. So Jonathan, help us get out of these cry. I could do it for 30 minutes. She's so awesome.
Yeah, I think the tension is like, it's just like marriage, what God does in the spirit. It can take years and years for people to work out depending on where their humanity is. And so I think the hardest thing about being a stepmom, whether it be for girls who lost their mom or maybe girls who haven't, but God still called you to be there in that position in that home, is there's a bunch of humans involved. And so what happens in the spirit, because God's like, no, now you're here and you're going to play a role, it can just take time and it's different for every person. So just imagine being in a home with 4 different children
and they grow
with different personalities and they're grown. And so it's just a different experience. And so what I've really appreciated about PETA is regardless of what that experience has been like, which has been very varied, has been varied on different days, she still owned the spiritual responsibility that God's given her, which works itself out really physically, like cooking.
Yes.
Yeah. Caring for and picking up and giving up your life.
Right.
You give up your life.
And when teenagers aren't quick to be like, you know what? Thank you so much for getting me today. I love your Costco runs. Like they're just not in that space yet. They will. They will come back around one day if they have
The girls are actually pretty good. They're awesome. They've especially recently been, I feel like I've really noticed it and it's been really, like I had this thing. I don't know what's too much to share. I don't know.
We can edit if you change your mind.
Yeah, because we usually don't like to name the girls mm-hmm. individually or like say too many things. But anyway, so Monday, I just had a difficult day. I hadn't been sleeping well because I've had a lot of pain and different things, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't sleep well Sunday night. And as I said, like, you know, we had the ultrasound on Wednesday. So Monday and Tuesday were kind of the worst nights. And Monday was just really hard, hard to get going on the day. Had this grand plan actually to clean the pantry. Because I bought all these things on Amazon that are still sitting in a box, like to organize it. And I just couldn't get going on the day. Like, I just felt like out of body, like didn't have any clear thoughts, but just like, yeah, I guess physical stress or emotional stress or whatever. Anyway, and the girls came home from school and the twins asked, like, I was like, how was your day? And da da da, we were chit-chatting. And then Lovey was like, how was your day, Peter? And I was like, you know, I just had one of those days.
Yeah.
And I don't usually say that. Like, I usually would just be like, it was good, you know, I wanted to do this, but I didn't quite get it done, but I got these other things done and, mm-hmm. you know, want to be buoyant or whatever. And I just was like, oh, it was just a bit, I just had one of those days. I just couldn't quite get out of whatever I was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know how to explain it. And she's, I mean, she's so emotionally intelligent yes. and yes. brilliant and sensitive. And she just goes, oh, like this, yes. this understanding. She's very emotional. She's
living up
too,
to her
like,
name, that Lovey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she just goes, oh, and then she just said, looked at me and I could tell they're about to go upstairs. And then she doubled back and she goes, do you want a hug?
Oh, I love her.
And I was like, that would actually be so nice.
Oh my God.
That would be so nice. And that's not super, like, just for if anyone's listening that's a step parent or new step parent, we're 2 years in, like, that's not super common ground.
Yeah.
You know, the girls are really compassionate, amazing, and awesome. But just in terms of,
wow,
you know, I think if there's any advice I would give, it would be like, to hoard the treasures, like, you know, and really take note of them. And that was definitely something God told me early on when I was just like, ah, oh, this is, I don't know. And I felt like he was like, write them down
yeah.
when these little treasures oh, wow. happen, write them down.
That's wisdom.
Because, yeah, you can look back at them later and just be like, they see me.
Yeah.
You know, it might have been once in a quarter or whatever. Like,
well, they or they just
which
don't
is normal
have the
for
words.
Any parent.
They don't have the words to communicate it, but way to go, Lovey. And they're all so awesome. It is so important that our kids understand their identity in Christ because the world around us tells our kids a lot of things about who they are. But as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image and we were created for a purpose. Have you ever wondered, how do I talk to my kid about the topic of identity? It feels overwhelming and complicated and confusing. Or how do I weave scripture around conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life? Well, Identity Simplified is the resource you need. Identity Simplified is Christian parenting. Newest digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How does our identity in Christ change our purpose? What does the Bible say about sexual identity or gender identity? And how do we treat others? And much more. You'll find conversation guides, discussion starters, and script to use with your kids. And since the guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer and then search through those resources whenever you need. There's a lot of information out there and it can feel like a big topic. And we hope that this guide will help you in your everyday life as you and your family question the culture around you, your identity in Christ, and much more. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of the best resources from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. And again, that's cpgive.org. And let me ask you a favor. Let me know what you think. Email us, DM us over at Christian Parenting or Pardon the Mess and tell us how this resource helped you or some of our other digital guides out there. There's a lot on the website, and we hope they bless you and your family. Have you guys
guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Hey, Jonathan, let's talk about real quick the tension that a lot of people are feeling this week. And you've been dealing with grief and just the tension of living your life, having a week like Thanksgiving or having holidays or having soccer games and holding both of those things. So you can have joy, you can have grief, you can have hard days, you can have fun days. And so for someone that's newer in the journey of loss, how would you help them enter in this week without just beating themselves up?
Yeah. I don't know. I think PETA might be more prepared to answer that than me. I'll try, but I'd love her support. I mean, honestly, we've walked, you know, I walked a big grief journey with losing Winter, but then we've walked a big grief journey with losing Jonathan and then our miscarriage before him. Mm. And I feel like what's funny is I feel like I've learned to grieve better in the process of losing our babies, just learning to grieve with a woman who's like an empath, who's just like so emotionally connected.
Feels everything.
It's your gift. What's cool about feeling everything and acknowledging everything is it forces you into a process. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is, you know, what we mostly want to do, I remember my first Thanksgiving after Winter passed away, in trying to manage the pain, I actually just tried to control everything. So I got in a big fight with my siblings because I had like 10 nieces and nephews, I think it was, in the house. I had brand new white walls. And I'm just like literally telling the kids for hours on end, stop touching the walls. Don't touch the walls. Be careful on the walls. And I got in a big blow up with my brother. And it was just like, I'm trying to control. And they don't know that I'm just like, I'm just trying to work out my grief in some way. And so I think like rather than controlling or stuffing through like even, you know, some other, whether it be alcohol or something that's dulling the pain.
Avoiding.
Actually just acknowledging it and feeling it so that you can actually just process it versus, you know, all that. So like that's, I would say like the thing I've learned to do is just acknowledge and sit in, even when I don't feel it. Cause sometimes I don't feel it. It's like, oh yeah. I did have a big loss. That miscarriage was a big loss. Like she's actually helped me really sit in it. Which just helps you actually experience the reality versus like acting like it's not real. And so
that's good.
That doesn't mean you can't have joy, you know, like I do feel like, you know, the scripture that's always stuck with me, Philippians 4, whatever's true, right, honorable, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, dwell on these things. I feel like you can do that. And when you do that, you can actually experience real hurt and still have joy because it's never absent. Like when Paul's telling, you know, the church, but he's really kind of reminding the Christians in Philippi at the time that we're going through a tremendous persecution to like always have joy and be abounding in joy. They're walking through all that crazy stuff, but he's like, that's the way to do it. Whatever's true, right, honorable, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. So you can actually experience hurt and still experience those things at the same time. Yeah. So I don't know if I answered the question.
No, it's perfect. But, and as I'm looking at you, and I know you did this with Winter and the girls, and I imagine you've done this with PETA, But I imagine there's times where you're like, she's probably not the person I should process this with. Like right now, like, will I just take her down? So I imagine there's a layer of like, I got to work this out with God. I got to get a therapist involved. We're together. We're separate. And so that's got to be complicated to discern. Like y'all, yeah, maybe on different timelines, right?
Yeah. It's funny because I think in the, especially the depth of the loss of Jonathan at 35 weeks, there were certain things that she needed to process. I don't think she minds me sharing, but like specifically as it was to the heart of God, when you lose a baby at 35 weeks, that I actually wasn't prepared to hear some of her, like some of the, like the not yelling, but some of like the ways that she was like wanting to engage with God. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know if my soul can go there right now. So it's like, she would literally say to me, you're probably not the one to process with this with right now. Yeah. I think by and large, as a married couple, we've processed most everything together.
Everything together really deeply. Yeah. It's been amazing.
But there've been little things where it's like, you know, like think about like, did God cause this or did God allow this?
Yeah, we've thought about that a lot.
And a part of it was like, for me, it's like my spiritual conviction is that God allows things like that. He doesn't cause it. But when you read the Bible deeper, you're like, oh, maybe he did cause it. It's just like really confusing. Well,
and then for me, I didn't feel any peace about that because I was like, so God let the enemy come into my house and take my child?
Right.
He allowed that?
These are big questions. Like,
so that language for me really offended my heart in my grief. Like, so you're saying that God allowed the enemy to come into our house and literally steal my child.
And I'm like, no.
And that's what, like, to me, that actually was really offensive. Whereas the thought that it was sovereign and God allowed me to carry a child for a certain amount of time and his life is now eternal, and that was sovereign, I was able to sort of work through that. In truth, I don't know what the answer is. No. Like, it's a total mystery that we've been in a process of having to yield. But I feel like for you, there were moments where I was processing some of that. Like, I feel like I'm coming to a revelation that this was the will of God. And he was like,
but I wasn't, but I wasn't saying it wasn't the will of God. It's just, that's where the problem is, the human language. The human language can only, and our minds can only, like, his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts. Yeah. So we're trying to wrestle through something that literally we don't even have the capacity to wrestle
understand.
Through. Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, like, for couples, like, I feel like we've got such a healthy friendship and such a healthy relationship. We talk about everything. Mm. And so even in grief, that's been really helpful because there's things I'm good at and there's things she's good at. So from a marriage perspective, try to talk about all of it. That's what we're trying to do. I definitely lean too hard into my girls, which I didn't know how not to do at that point because I'm like, they're with me. We're together, you know, and there were some learnings in that, but that's a whole nother story for another day.
So. I know we could go so many layers on this, but I do. One of the friends of mine that has actually lost her husband, she listens every week and she gives me feedback and it's so helpful. But her, one of her family members said that I think somehow her work and not like asking for his healing on the spot of the wreck caused him to die. And there was a lot of like horrible communication to her that it was Satan stealing him. And then it was her fault for not, I mean, it's just so much Christian and unknown gets really wrapped up in this and can be really damaging. So I'm proud of y'all for asking and saying, you know what, we may not know the full answer, but it's helping me grieve or helping me heal to talk through it a little bit. And I think a lot of people listening will be like, thank you for saying that. Because I don't know either. And it may be keeping them up at night thinking about those questions. It's huge.
I think everybody's different. Like, you've got to understand your own process inside of your own relationship with God. Like, for me, I had to go to the end of every road before I could really only, I feel like it was 6 months later, truly settle in peace in like, this is a mystery and I'm willing to give it to you, God. Like, I'm willing to not know till the other side, till I cross through the veil. But for Jonathan, he was able to do that before without actually going down every road. Like, well, if you say God allowed it, what does that look like at the end of that road?
Right.
Like, what's, you know, or if you say it's God's will, what is that like? What does that mean for who God is to me?
Yeah.
And I think that God actually, and I'm not saying there's one way that's better than the other. It depends on who you are. Like, but I know for me, ultimately, it became the rebirthing place or the renaissance place for my faith, because what I began to understand was, I didn't realize, but I had a total ceiling on who God was. Mm. I'm really creative. I come from a prophetic stream. Like, And I was just like, I never thought that I would say that. I was just like, God can do whatever he wants and all the things. But in my heart of hearts, I was like, you're not allowed to do this. Mm. And you wouldn't, God would never do that. God would never allow that. God would never allow that to happen. This could never happen to us.
Yeah.
And so when it did, it actually blew the ceiling off.
Wow.
And so I was like, I felt for a long time like there was not only the grief, but there was this feeling of drowning in, I don't know who you are,
mm.
which actually is a really extraordinary place to be wow. after you've been certain about who God is,
wow.
because no one can be certain all the way about the fullness of who God is, because we each only see wow. in part.
Yeah.
So ultimately it was, and I think in terms of process, we just came at that differently. You were able to get there faster.
Yeah, and probably because I would suggest and guess that maybe I've wrestled that through with God in different seasons. Even like, you know, she didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did. I saw lots of tragedy as a yeah. child. And so I don't think I had to wrestle that through. Even like, I don't feel like I had to wrestle that through even with Winter.
Yeah.
It was, and maybe it's just, I'm just wired different. I'm a man. Like there's lots of different reasons, but at the end of the day, what's really beautiful for both of us is regardless of that wrestle and how long it took us, we were in the hospital. We're holding our son who has no breath. We're getting ready to entrust him to the Lord after praying for literally resurrection. And I think Peter said it first. I can't remember who said it first, but really we just said to each other, where else would we go? Who else has the mm. words of life? Like we already knew there was no other trustworthy source, whether mm. we've understood or not, we already knew there was no other trustworthy source yeah. for us to go to.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're going to wrestle this out with you because who else are we going to yeah. wrestle it out with? You know,
yeah.
not even each other, you know? So.
And it's funny, just the other day I was remembering.
That's Peter, by the way, I think. Jesus asked Peter.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
I was like, I think you're asking Jesus, me? I dropped out of seminary.
I know.
Jesus says to Peter, will you leave me too? And he says, where else would I go? Who else has wow. the words of
it's
life?
In so, John.
It's in John.
I think it's in John 6.
Yeah.
But
okay.
She's so much more theologian than I am.
Anyway, I think
impressive.
It is.
Well, one of the things.
When she says like renaissance of the renaissance of my faith, I'm just like, it's so awesome. I'm married to her. It's
I know.
Incredible.
He was telling about how much he loved your heart, but he was like, her accent, like, you know, he just loved all those things. Hey, let me tell you this. Like, I'm thinking like I need to say this is a conversation starter and you have touched on so many things that I think people would be like, can you talk about that for 30 minutes? So all I'll say is like, I know you need time to process all the things in your life, but you have such a special calling and gift on you, Peeta, specifically that I hope that you continue to write or share as time allows, because I don't think this conversation is happening just in grief, but in all the variations of motherhood. And so I think there'll be people listening that are like, can you talk all the time? Like, and tell me more, because that's really important. And so thank you for just touching on so many layers that people, I don't think they hear it on a day-to-day basis, and definitely not from their church, for sure. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately. But did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers. This one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, that's amazing, Courtney. Thank you so
You're
much.
So welcome.
That's super encouraging and amazing. Thank you.
Okay, so I hate to pivot to something as joyful as a girl's magazine, but we have to. So let's talk. One of the things I love about you, Jonathan, is that you heard from the Lord that you were supposed to keep Winter's legacy going through her ministry for girls like you. And I've had the honor of watching you do that and the girls and how he brought people into your life to do that. And I get to be on the board. I do basically squat. Like my, I don't do.
That's not true.
At one point I was the secretary and I'm like, was I supposed to take notes? Like I'm just so bad. But tell us what's exciting. And for people that don't know, explain a little bit about the ministry and then what are you working on right now?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to actually publicly acknowledge and thank my wife, PETA, because that was a commitment I made to the Lord, partly in really feeling like God wanted me to do it. And then part of it was like fear, like I can't let this thing die. And I've wrestled through for many years. And she's actually been a part of the wrestle of like me entrusting God with For Girls Like You.
Yeah.
But she's also been like the support behind the scenes, like she said earlier, like allowing space for you know, Winter as a mom. And the magazine really was her as a mom. Like it's this continuation of her life and the, like the works that she poured her life into. And what's really neat is, you know, the girls have been stepping more and more into it. I tried to give it away. You know that, Courtney. I'm like, I tried to, and God's just like, no, you're going to run this thing. And so here I am. I feel like we're going into a third chapter. The first was Winter and her, call it 7 years of founding and leading For Girls Like You, the magazine specifically, which is a bi-monthly magazine. And then when she passed away suddenly, I've led it for now for over 5 years. We turned it into a nonprofit and that was kind of like this next chapter. And my only goal was keeping the magazine going. Yeah. And by God's grace, we've done that. Literally, God brought us an editor 6 months before Winter died and that's continued. But all along, I didn't really have any vision for where we'd go from there. And it's a long story, but what's really cool is God kind of put on my heart and then our editor's heart a thought to keep our fictional content going. And so that started kind of this whole story or this whole path to like a new program that's actually just going to take girls deeper. It's three parts now. It's gotten bigger, but it's mentoring, it's discipleship. Well, like we'll dive into discipleship and then community. The mentorship, this is really cool. Alina, our oldest, is actually jumping in to lead like a monthly mentor kind of club. It's like obviously digital. So she'll be doing a Zoom every single month. And then weekly, she's like checking in with the girls through video. So that's mentoring. But then we're doing discipleship through two resources. One, we're going to write a new exclusive fictional chapter of content in our Daniel Sisters line. So that monthly chapter will get mailed to the girls along with a reflections journal, which is like a daily devotional. But all that content going to them that they're going to be diving into is based on Winter's last book that she wrote, I Am Yours. I Am Yours. What is it called? I Am Yours, Prayers for God's Girls. But it's based on 60 I Am statements. I am chosen. I am loved. I am confident. Like all these different statements that she wished were spoken into her as a little girl. And so that's all based on that. But everything from the mentorship to the resources that we're mailing out monthly will be on a monthly theme.
Yeah.
And then obviously we're doing this in community digitally. And then hopefully one day we'll be doing like different events around the country, different things like that. So we're just trusting God for it. But it's like a monthly subscription. By the time people are listening to this, it will be out. You can find it at forgirlslikeyou.com.
Is the age range the same for that program as the magazine?
Yep. Okay, yep. So 8 to 12. And obviously it's new. So we're... I'm sure there's going to be like a sweet spot in terms of age. But Alina was a mentor at Pine Cove. She was a camp counselor and really has found a kind of passion for mentoring young women. And obviously the little childhood she's had as an actress and kind of being along the magazine, it makes sense. But I'm really grateful because I knew that God had me running it for a reason. And I really feel like a part of it is just like, yeah, he's got these girls that are going to inherit, you know, at least a piece of this work from their mom. And so I'm just kind of standing in the gap. Yeah. So pretty excited about it. And
we'll link to all those things. I think one of the things I love about 8 to 13 is they start creeping into like first, kindergarten, first grade, they're like, it's rainbows, it's unicorns. Everyone is great. I love everyone. And then second, third grade, you start going like, am I alone? Do I have friends? Like they start waking up to that. And they also start dialing out their parents. And so your voice is there. They really listen to peers. And so I love that Or even like young adults like Alina. So I love the magazine.
Like an older, cooler sister.
Sorry. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So that's what, I mean, honestly, what we're trying to do is get them content that they might, because it's independent, they'll get into it themselves, but then have like this voice, this older kind of cool girl some things. And she really is. She's a lot of fun.
She's so cool. Yeah. I'm like,
I don't know.
It's God's favor in her life. She's always had it. It's kind of,
She's so cool.
I consider her mentally, like we text quite a bit and she's like my peer. It's like a little winter coming back. I'm like, can you help me work through this? And she's like 20 and she'll say something. And I'm like, hadn't thought of that. So she is so precious to me. Yes. We had her for a blip in Dallas and then you got her back, but I enjoyed having her here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you both.
Well, she loves you
so much.
Yeah, we love you.
Two things I want to tell you. I have, dear God, I surrender. She is yours. I have that prayer from you guys on the canvas beside me. And then I have Winter's funny face and the girls in my Bible. And it's just a constant thought. I'm praying for you guys all the time. I love what God's done in your life. It strengthened me to watch him show up when I wanted to fix it. I'm like thinking I'm the hero. I'm like, I've got to move there. I've got to like do all this stuff. And he's like, I actually have it all planned out. Like he had the whole thing.
Well, I was trying to get you to run for Girls Like You and you said no to me on that.
I chew ADD first.
You didn't say yes. You didn't say, use me, Lord. I'm available at that.
Nope. I'm just kidding. Within reason. Something I can actually.
And by the way, at this point, I'm glad I'm like, oh, I didn't know Courtney as well then as I know her now. She's like, what you're doing now is perfect for you. You wouldn't have wanted to run for Girls Like You. It's just too much.
I can't complete stuff. So like these little, like I can complete this 30-minute conversation, but completing like magazines throughout the year, I would just flake out. It would be a disaster. Right. So, all right. Well, love you guys.
Thank you for being on. Love you too.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you.
Okay, see you, Court.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.